Previously on Willing to Adapt.
So, did you know Alan Rickman was handpicked to play Snape by J.K. Rowling?
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. Harry starts getting on my nerves as the books go on.
What you mean when he becomes a teenager?
When he becomes a teenager.
I forget how long the movie is.
Yeah, it is a pretty long movie.
Especially for like a quote-unquote kids movie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be under 2 hours, and then it was like 2.5 hours. And I could have gone 3.
Yep.
But, you know, obviously one of the biggest differences is the movie had to cut things to fit within the 2 hours.
Yeah.
And a half, I guess. And the book goes much greater in detail.
Oh, yeah.
About how the world and the magic work.
I'm Eric Von Crumley.
And I'm Romy Reyes.
Have you ever wondered how a book becomes a movie?
Or how a movie becomes a musical?
Or how anything is adapted at all?
Join us as we talk about your favorite stories and all the changes that were made along the way.
But more importantly, why? This is Willing to Adapt.
This is another big difference. In the movie, Professor Quirrell cannot physically touch Harry ever.
Yeah.
Or else he'll be hurt. And he seems to know this mm-hmm. from the very beginning in the movie. Which is why he does not shake Harry's hand in the Leaky Cauldron.
Yeah, that part I knew.
But in the book, that's not the case.
He's not wearing the turban in the...
He's not wearing the turban in the beginning. When he meets Harry in mm-hmm. the Leaky Cauldron, and it says he actually shakes Harry's hand.
Profusely or something like that. Yeah, I remember that part.
Yeah, so yeah. I was trying to figure it out in the book. So he already knew Voldemort.
Mm-hmm.
Because it said that he had met him on his world travels,
mm-hmm.
which had been at least a... couple years prior.
Yeah.
But he at least did not put him on the back of his head until he went to Hogwarts that year.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, they just automatically put him on his head.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good foreshadow, though. Like, the fact that he won't shake his hand.
Mm-hmm. There was a couple of foreshadowings with him throughout the movie.
I think the book does a better job of foreshadowing it.
Mm.
But I think the movie and the book foreshadow differently.
Yeah.
And so I think they're both fine. I told Romy this before. I specifically sat down, and as I read the book, I wrote down every change that I noticed from the book to the movie. And so I'm not going to go into every detail, because this would be a very long podcast.
Yes.
But it did remind me, I had this idea in my head that the movie was almost like a direct remake, or like adaptation.
Yeah.
And then as I'm reading the book, I realized... how different it actually was.
Oh, yeah. No, funny enough, you saying that, I felt the same way. Mm-hmm. In my memory, I always thought of the first two movies as almost shot for shot.
Like page to page.
And after sitting and watching it and realizing, oh my gosh. I mean, it's different. Both movies are, I'm not sure about the second one yet, but the first movie definitely is very different. It's a very different in a way that the movies 3 through 7, they're differences...
They're not blatant differences.
But they're not blatant differences, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, in your face.
Yes.
One thing I noticed specifically, and I wanted to check in the movie, I think in the movie, mm-hmm. they try to get to Hogwarts a lot faster than in the book. In the book, they don't get to Hogwarts. Like, they don't actually enter Hogwarts mm-hmm. until I did the math about 35% of the way through the book.
It's kind of like most movies.
Well, they're definitely in the Muggle world longer in the book.
Well, yeah, because his birthday is like a month before school starts.
But even a lot of the action on the train,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot more action on the train in the book than there is in the movie.
True, true.
And I think I think in the movie they get to Hogwarts a lot faster than in the book. And I think part of that is because they just really wanted to get to that magical world faster.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like, there's a lot of like scenes that got moved to later. Like when Draco and Harry meet for the first time, mm-hmm. it's like at Hogwarts.
Yeah. They cut a lot of the Diagon Alley mm-hmm. stuff too.
But it also changes a lot of the dynamics
mm-hmm.
because in the book, like Harry basically dismisses Malfoy because he's a jerk and all that.
Yeah.
But in the movie, he becomes friends with Ron first.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, I am choosing to be friends with this person because we've connected and you're a jerk. Whereas the dynamics change. You know?
No, they change a good amount of that. Because even the brothers, I think the brothers are a lot more mm-hmm. Fred and George.
They're more friendly, I think, in the book.
They are. Whereas they're more just the older brothers who are teasing in the movie.
Mm-hmm. A lot of teasing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they definitely tease in the book too. Yeah. But they definitely act like older brothers to Harry in the book. Like, you know, the book just goes a lot more deeper in understanding the characters. I think I just need to leave it at that. I don't want to go much more in detail in that.
Read them, people. You'll be able to see firsthand.
Yeah. One small difference is in the book, Ron actually knows who Harry is before he goes to the compartment on the train. Whereas in the movie, he didn't know who Harry was when he went into the compartment.
Didn't they find out on the platform?
In the book, they find out
who
Harry is, and then Ron goes sits with him in the train.
Yes.
But in the movie, Ron just sits there because it's the only one
that's
vacant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he notices the scar.
Yeah, because one thing I picked up in the book was how that whole kind of, it's kind of sad as Harry's watching the Weasleys all say goodbye out of the window, and Ginny's crying, and Harry's by himself, no family.
I think the movie touches on this, but the one thing I like more in the book is how Harry and Ron they seem like they wouldn't have a lot in common at first. Like, J.K. Rowling really emphasizes how Ron comes from a wizarding family.
Yeah.
And, like, hypothetically, maybe he's like Draco Malfoy before he knows it's his name. And how Harry doesn't know anything about the wizarding world and all this stuff. But then, you know, Ron's on the other side. He's like, oh, this guy's not going to like me. Like, he's this famous wizard and stuff. And I come from this poor family and stuff. But you find out in the book, they really bond over growing up and not really having much. And they both bond over this fear of not being able to live up to expectations.
Yeah, because Ron is
hammy. They kind of briefly touch upon that in the movie, but they really lean into it more in the book.
Yes, yeah.
Because Ron, like, never lived up to his brother's. He once lived up to his brother's expectations, like, because they've all done things. And Harry's literally Harry Potter. Well,
not the twins quite yet.
But, like,
outside of being on the Quidditch team.
They said, like, they're on the Quidditch team, but even them, everybody likes them.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah, because the only one did they mention both of his older brothers, the ones that have already graduated?
Charlie.
I know Charlie because of the dragon.
Yeah, Charlie and
Bill.
Yeah, they do mention him.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, they briefly mentioned Bill.
Okay, it's just a brief mention. Because I know with Charlie with the dragons, that whole section.
Yeah, because Ron introduces, he mentions all of them.
Oh, that's right. No, okay, it's coming back.
This is just me talking a lot.
you wrote all the differences down. I have them in my head, but.
So I noticed, I'm just going to read it.
Okay.
When we first meet Hermione in the book, she's annoying, but she does not come off as condescending like in the movie.
Yeah.
There's so many times in the movie that she comes off really condescending.
Yeah.
And in the book, she just kind of sounds like a know-it-all.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the impression that she just takes being a witch very seriously because she grew up as a muggle and she wants to take advantage of everything that's new and that's just opened up to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't want to lose it. Like, she's afraid of losing it, it sounds like, in the book. In the film, she just really comes off like she knows better than you. And
yeah.
And she's, like, rubbing it in at times, it seems like. Yeah, and it's funny because in the movie, I noticed she has these snarky lines sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, they're lines from other characters that they've just given to her for the movie.
Yes. Yeah, there was a lot of that for Hermione. Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. Because even in the book, they don't really want to be friends with her.
Mm-mm.
Which I felt really bad for her in the book. In the movie, it made more sense why they didn't want to be friends with her.
Yeah.
But in the book, I felt really bad about them, like, kind of being rude to her.
I mean, you get a sense of that where she's kind of just following them around and popping up until the troll incident.
Yeah. But
it's more so in the book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But in the movie, they really start pushing her into the friendship early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, like, Harry will say things to her.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, in the book, he would never have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. He was just that girl. Yeah. In the movie, it really felt like them becoming friends after the troll was the next logical thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, it was like, how could you not be friends after something like that?
Yeah.
You know, which is true.
And in some ways, I feel that is more, the book was more characteristic to how things really happen.
I think so, too.
Because, I mean, I look back at my high school
years. I think the movie's fine. I think the relationship
is
fine.
It is. But it's a movie, and they had to do what they had to do
to speed things along. It definitely changes some of the dynamics.
But in real life, I mean, like I said, I look back in high school, and sometimes a lot of my friends didn't solidify until sophomore year.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman year was still kind of podge-podge figuring it out, and that makes sense.
Or friends you were friends with or no longer friends with.
And so you see how she's integrated, how Rowling integrates her. But I think in the book, that's one thing I really felt in watching the movie was, like, the movie, and I get it. You know, we see this in, we've seen this in plenty of adaptations. but because they have to keep the pacing and keep moving along, you see
but
how
he also
they
wants the characters
speed things
to be
up.
Really likable.
Yeah.
Like Harry, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Harry and Ron. Because there's times in the book where they're kind of mean to her.
Oh, yeah.
And just in general, like they'll make choices because they're human.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make choices that maybe aren't the best choices.
Yeah.
And they're also 11.
Yeah.
And you know, it reminded me, I'm thinking back to times when I was younger where, like, maybe I was rude to people and a little bit of a jerk, but then, you know, you end up being friends or something, you know, eventually or
true.
Something. You want to tell the listeners the biggest difference from the book to the movie? That if you had not read the book, that you would have no idea about this?
Peeps?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So in the book, there is a poltergeist, not to be confused with the ghosts, and his name is Peeves. He's he's like the comic relief, if you will.
He's a little bit like he's some of the conflict too. But
yes, and he also plays interesting roles. Like Rowling uses him very interestingly in the books.
He's almost just convenient at times. I think
he's the deus ex machina type
a little bit
character in a way.
Yeah.
I didn't know this until you told me today, though, that he was originally filmed to be in the movie.
Right?
Yes. I did not know that.
I did not know that until today either.
Yeah. I wish I could have seen those deleted scenes.
Yeah. It sounds like they cut him early.
Okay.
Like, it seems like they didn't really film much.
Either that or it was like the... Because there's some very important deleted scenes in some of the Star Wars movies that they've never released because they didn't do the CGI for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if it's the same thing where they film the actor.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Or they got his recording.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like they didn't even keep it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's funny because, you know, you get the deleted scenes for movies like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And you get to see them like on the DVDs or on YouTube and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always everything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Like, there's so much more filmed that was cut.
Yeah.
That didn't make it even to deleted scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I realized in the research for this episode, the original script for the movie apparently was so much closer to the book.
Really?
Yeah, like there's whole lines and things that changed into the final product and whole scenes and stuff that are directly lifted from the book. That I did not know until I was watching the behind the scenes where they specifically were showing clips of like the making of the movie. And I'm watching it and hearing some of the dialogue and stuff. And I'm like, oh, that's not in the movie.
Yeah.
That's not even deleted scenes, but I know that's in the book.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh.
I mean, sometimes the only one that really pops into mind that I sound like, I'm sure some of it sounded better. It's Hagrid's line at the beginning. When he tells Harry he's a wizard, you know, you're a wizard, Harry. And it's an iconic line, but in the book, it's Harry, you're a wizard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm sure they changed things around to make it sound better and for better for presentation.
Well, a lot of the stuff that's not in deleted scenes that I just came across in some of the making of is stuff that just fleshed out more.
Oh, okay.
Stuff. Okay, and then this is a fun one. The Dumbledore in the book is so much sillier.
he is a different.
In the movie, they really lean into how wise he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you first really meet him, like they build him up. Like he's this amazing person. Like when you first meet him, like that's when he's dropping Harry off and stuff. And that's all well and good. Like he's still a little weird. He's like, would you like a lemon drop? You know, like he throws random things out like that.
Yeah.
But they do build him up, and then when you finally meet him, like his first lines in the book, essentially when he's addressing the students, are like just nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Like he says like just random nonsense to them. He's like, I have a few words to say, and it's literally just random words. And then Harry looks over at Percy, and he says, and I quote, he asks like if Dumbledore is mad, like in the sense of crazy, and then Percy says, I quote, he's a genius, best wizard in the world, but yes, he's a bit mad. and there's no reference to any of that in the movie.
No, there isn't. But I like that because that's I've seen that before, and it's in regards to how some of the wisest, or not wisest, but like some of the smartest and most well thought of people had their quirks, you know? Whether, like right now, I mentioned to you, we had just watched, or I've watched half of Oppenheimer, and they show Einstein. And you think of, like, some of the quirks that Einstein had, and yet he was such a genius. And I think they, Rowling kind of really drew in that, instead of having the stoic professor who, you know, went to Oxford or whatever.
They really kind of lean into this, the wise old man stereotype.
And it is, it is. But in this case, it's the wise old man who's simplistic, nonetheless. And he's down to earth and just kind of weird. And something popped into mind right now who's also like that. I lost it. But I've seen it in a couple different things where they do that stereotype, as you say.
Yeah, I really like how silly he is in the book. Like, he's still wise. Like, he's still a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
But he'll just randomly say the funniest things. And and it's just like, are you okay?
the school song?
Oh, my gosh. That's the worst.
So, but no, I like Dumbledore.
There's so many mechanics about the world that if you did not read the books, you'd be so confused by in the movies.
Yes.
And one of the
things... It gets worse in the later movies.
Yes, yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, it's handled well enough in the first two.
Yeah.
But in later movies, it's so bad. I watched these movies with my family, I think either during COVID or right after COVID.
Okay.
My mom or someone, they wanted to watch the movies because... And my mom specifically said that she had not seen them since theaters.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay. But she wanted to watch them with me because I'd read the books.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew I could explain things if it gets confusing. I'm like, that's fine. It's been a while, but I remember everything I need to for the most part that's important.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching them, and, you know, they're all doing fine. You know, not every once in a while, I was like, they had a question, but it was usually more me volunteering information.
Yeah.
You know, in the book, you know, this happens. Things like that. But that's the cliche. But I think it was, like, in the fourth movie, for sure. Mm. That's when they really started being confused by some things.
Okay.
But they did okay. And then, definitely, I think maybe the sixth one.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I enjoy the sixth one.
Yeah.
It's got its problems, but I enjoy the sixth one movie.
Yeah.
By that one, I think it was that one. I was going to be home late from work, but they really wanted to start it, and they didn't want to wait. I was like, well, if you want to watch it, you can watch it. That's fine. Like, I'm not going to make you wait for me.
Yeah.
15 minutes later, my mom texts me, we're going to wait for you. We have a lot of questions.
That's funny.
I'm like, okay. And then they literally waited for me because they were so confused.
Yeah.
Which, again, that one for sure, because there were so many plot things. But one of the things, the mechanics about the movies that I was confused about, that the book actually is there's so many things about the book they don't just outright tell you that you kind of just have to piece together, which I kind of like. But the one thing I noticed this time around is in the book, it explains kind of between the lines how a person needs a certain amount of magic in them in order to be accepted at Hogwarts. And that a kid from a wizarding family may not actually have enough magic in them.
Yeah, Squibs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the movies don't explain that.
No, not at all.
Yeah. And even the books don't explain it a ton, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
But they do kind of talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, even Neville at one point says specifically, like, his grandma thought he won't have enough magic in him.
Until she threw him out a window.
Yeah, like his uncle threw him out a window. Yeah.
Yeah,
and he balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that's something I picked up in they show it in the movie in the sense of they're able to like be injured in ways that would kill a human, a muggle.
Sure.
But because of the magic, it prevents them from dying horrible deaths.
Yeah. Well, the movie makes it out as if this is not the case. And it seems like muggle-born kids with magic are just kind of an anomaly.
Yeah, that's how. Yeah, the movie does come across that way.
But in the book, you get more of a sense that magic can kind of exist in anybody and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that some...
Like the Force.
Yeah, sure. But it just like some are just some have more than others.
Yeah.
And that you need a certain amount to like to learn by, essentially.
But you get that with Hagrid.
Hagrid.
Hagrid, sorry. You get that. You realize he's like he just had barely enough to make it into Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason he didn't continue is he was expelled.
Right, yeah. But that also explains why some witches or wizards are greater or more powerful.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they come from like a powerful family or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is really random. I like that the book has a subtle foreshadow about Voldemort and Professor Quirrell. When Harry on his first night at Hogwarts has a nightmare about wearing Quirrell's turban and it talks to him and it tells him to transfer to Slytherin as part of his destiny.
Yeah.
And then it starts to hurt him. Like, it's so random.
Yeah.
But it totally is a foreshadow.
Mm-hmm.
And then a little later, attention is drawn to his turban a couple different times.
Yeah.
About how it kind of smells funny.
Mm-hmm.
And Quirrell can't explain how he fought off a zombie to save the African prince who gave it to him, apparently.
Hmm.
Like, they definitely mention that, like, Quirrell's story does not add up in the book.
Yeah.
The movie, and like I was talking about how in the book Hogwarts seems much more like chaotic and funny and just fun in general,
mm-hmm.
And like in some ways it feels just like a normal place.
Yeah, yeah.
But the movie it seems it takes it a little bit more seriously at times, mm-hmm. And it seems like in the movie the odd occurrences are just kind of more like exceptions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just adds to the fantastical magical part of it. Yeah.
Snape in the book is a little different than in the movie.
I mean, yeah. I mean, what are you referencing?
I think Snape is a lot more mean to Harry in the book.
Oh, in that sense, yes. Yeah.
He seems a lot like more petty in the book.
Yeah, but I think that it comes across.
He definitely favors the Slytherins far more in the book.
Oh, yeah. No, because now that you mentioned that, I'm thinking of the first potions class where he's like giving them taking points mm-hmm. away left and right.
Yeah, for like no reason.
Yeah, well, did he blame something that Neville did on Harry and yes, said, Neville's, yes. It's your fault Neville did that and I'm
why did you let
away.
Him do yeah. this? Yes. Yeah. And in the movie, they kind of paint it as if he's mad at Harry because Harry's not paying attention, even mm-hmm. though Harry's just taking notes. And then he just kind of picks on him because of his celebrity status, apparently.
Yeah.
But in the book, there's a lot of different moments where, like, he's, like, fully, like, just full petty. And, like, that one time where he referees in the book for the Quidditch match.
The second match? Yes. It was? Yeah.
Which I never understood. Why would you want to referee a match where you're supposed to be guarding one of the players?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like if you were not refereeing, you'd be having a better chance at this.
Oh, yeah.
But it's funny because in the book it says he ended up giving a penalty against Gryffindor for no reason.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, are you leaning into this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of small differences, and I'm not going to go into all of them. The only one I'm going to bring up just as of one example is how in editing a book into a movie,
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of small differences you have to make.
Yeah.
In order to make it fit better or to accommodate things you had to cut.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when McGonagall goes and pulls out Oliver Wood from his Charms. Class.
Not in the movie. Where he was in the movie.
In the movie, it's from
Defense of Quirrell's class. That's right.
But in the book, it's Flitwick's class.
Yeah, Charms.
Yeah. Which doesn't mean anything.
No.
Except that in the book, you encounter Quirrell in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, you don't actually encounter him a whole lot.
Yeah.
But you do have that scene that's important to the story in Flitwick's class with the Wingardium Leviosa.
Which is also different in the book.
A little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It like it's mainly the same. But like that scene was filmed with Flitwick.
Mm-hmm.
And so you do see him in the film for that scene.
Yeah.
And you kind of had to keep that there because it's important for the whole relationship with Hermione and mm-hmm. everything.
But, well, it was different in the sense of what word she was emphasizing.
Sure. But I just mean, like, they already had their, you already meet Flitwick in the film for that.
Mm-hmm.
But because you don't really get to see a lot of Quirrell in the movie,
mm-hmm.
it made sense that they changed it to his class,
mm-hmm.
so that you do see him as a professor,
yeah.
and you get to see more of him and stuff. Like, just a small change.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes sense, and I liked it. I was confused about this for a second, because I do not remember this in the book, mm-hmm. and then I watched it in the movie, and I was like, that wasn't in the book, but I also am prepared to be wrong.
Okay.
Does the movie add the bit about Harry's dad being a seeker before him?
He was not a seeker.
Right.
He was a chaser, if I remember right. In the book, he's definitely not a seeker. And if I remember right, Hermione doesn't point it out. Dumbledore tells him or something like that.
And it's like off the cuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
they definitely make a big point of it in the movie.
They do.
Yeah.
And so it's a whole lineage thing and, mm-hmm. and so forth. And so, but no, in the book, his dad was a chaser, not a seeker. And I think people, I don't know why. I actually heard something about that in the Quidditch little thing I saw. They didn't mention the difference. No. I don't think I actually heard anything about it. And so they don't explain why they changed it. I just remember thinking about that when I was thinking about the differences. And I just feel the only reason they probably did was to provide that continuation, you know, that lineage, the, what do they call that, a legacy?
Yeah. I'm going to touch on that in a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too much into it now. But I will say what I'll talk about later. The movie leans into this theme of belonging.
Mm.
And the theme of, like, what is family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And so they really leaned into that for mm-hmm. the movie. And it's there in the book, but they really emphasize it for the movie.
Yeah, no, they do.
Yeah, they really pull more of that heart
mm-hmm.
for the movie. Whereas I feel like the book is just a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have some heart, obviously. Like, Harry's sad when he sees the Mirror of Erised.
Yeah.
His family. It's, like, more than just his parents.
Oh, it's a whole of the ancestors. Yeah. Yeah. Heck, they don't even mention the Dursleys sending him a Christmas present.
Okay, I liked that in the book.
See, that was a change that I remember when I was reading the books. I loved when it was Halloween and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The way she shared how they celebrated it was always fun.
I was always confused of what crackers were
as a
kid, because I didn't understand what Christmas crackers were for the British people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I was like, why are they eating crackers? I was like, wait, how are these things coming out of crackers? It's funny, though, because did you ever play the PC game based off the movie?
I played unless it was like the Xbox version.
No.
I did play the Xbox.
No, I had the PC version, mm-hmm. The CD-ROM. And it's funny because the CD-ROM
mm-hmm.
game is really close to the book.
Oh, okay.
Like, because they have to add things, right, mm-hmm. for the game. And so there's actually, like, full scenes from the book that they cut for the movie that they put for the CD-ROM
game. That's funny, yeah.
Yeah, like the whole potion bit before they meet Quirrell at the end mm-hmm. and things like that. Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Yeah, but you know, I missed the Christmas feast and all the gifts, because he gets 50 pence from the Dursleys.
You know what? I was just telling my sister about that. I think it's funny but that they do that, because it is funny. Because I think in the book it says that there was a tiny package, and it was a note. It had a note from the Dursleys that said, "We've received your message about not coming home for Christmas. We have sent your package, your present. And it's like 50 pence, right?" And then Harry says, "How friendly." But you know what's funny? Because when I read that in my head, like, I read it as funny, but uh-huh. I also read it as that's actually friendly of mm-hmm. them.
Yeah.
Because why would they send a gift to him? Like, they didn't have to send him anything. I think every Christmas they send him something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, in a weird way, it is kind of them.
Yeah.
That they do. It's always a horrible gift. But in a weird way, I think it is kind of them to send him a gift.
Yeah. No, that's the one thing I did miss from the movies, and I get why they cut it too, was the exposition of the Dursleys. Sure. You don't see that until the later movies.
Yeah, I think they're. I think in the book they're much more abusive of him.
Oh no, they're horrible, horrible people in the book.
Yeah,
but it's you find out more later because like the whole mystery right now is why the Dursleys. Why did Dumbledore send them there?
Oh yeah, and yeah, you find that out later. Don't really go into that as much. No. Yeah, I like the whole bit where they try to like. Throw Harry out, and then Dumbledore sends that the Howler at them, and he's like basically yelling at them, telling them to remember their promise and stuff. And then Petunia's like, "We have to keep him."
Yep.
All right, I'm gonna try and get through this one really quick because it's gonna sound very confusing if you've never read the book. And it goes back to Neville and stuff. Something in the book that's not in the movie is the wizard duel.
With Malfoy?
Yes.
Yeah.
So Malfoy used it to try to get Harry and Ron into trouble by trapping them with Filch, the caretaker. And before Hermione became friends with them, she tries to stop them. But she is stuck outside the common room because the fat lady is not in her picture. So she's forced to tag along with them. And they come across Neville, who had forgotten the password, into the common room.
He was sleeping outside.
Yes. And so he goes along with them as well.
Yes.
Neville's in the book a lot more than the movie.
Oh, yeah.
And He's afraid of being left alone, and so he goes. And then they realize that Malfoy had already tipped Filch off to them, and he had no intention of fighting them. And so they're trying to get away from Filch, and then they run into Peeves. And he screams for Filch, and they accidentally come across the third floor corridor and Fluffy after trying to get away from Peeves and Filch.
Yes, and nothing to do with staircases.
Right, and nothing to do with staircases. But in the movie, there is no Neville, and the three of them get turned around on the moving staircases. And I think that, in one way, I think that's why they created those staircases, because they still needed them to get to the third floor corridor.
Yeah.
Because they eliminated the wizard duel, and there's no Peeves. And so they had to come up with something.
That was a plot device.
Yeah. I just, you know, it's interesting to think about choices you have to make when you're making those cuts and stuff. Oh, yeah. You know, this is another random difference. You know, the whole bit with the troll in the dungeon that, you know, Quirrell lets him in and everything. We don't know that yet, obviously, but, and then Hermione's stuck in the bathroom. So in the book, Harry and Ron, they go to tell Hermione about the troll when they see Snape heading to the third floor. But in the movie, they only see the aftermath of his bloody leg.
Correct. Yeah.
And I thought it was really funny how in the book they accidentally lock the troll in with her.
Yes.
So this is something I never understood in both the movie and the book. Please explain this to me if you can. I never understood why Hermione lied about trying to defeat the troll and Harry and Ron went to save her. Wouldn't the truth, or at least part of the truth, work better for all of them?
So the only reason I agree. I think it's
because they never tried to actually stop the troll because the troll wasn't supposed to be there.
Yes, and I think it's a dumb choice by a child. But having been a child who made dumb choices, I did that when I was young. Where my mom comes out, we're all in trouble because one of my cousins is crying, and so instead of telling the truth, which probably would have gotten us all less in trouble, I created a story to try to make it a little bit better. So having lived through something like that as a kid, you know, I don't know her rationale, and Rowling doesn't show it to us.
I only say because it seems like in especially the movie, but in the book too, it seems like Hermione's covering for them in a weird way.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like there's any reason why she would have to.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think, like I said, I think it was more of a, I don't understand the rationale for why they
I
did
don't
that.
Want to think it's a weak spot. But yeah, we'll go with they're young.
Yeah, they're 11.
Yeah, we already talked about how the Quidditch match injures a lot higher stakes.
Oh, actually, before we move on, though.
Oh, okay.
Do you think it was because, now here's just a rationale. She's not quite friends with them fully yet. I mean, she's been tagging along. It was her way of showing them that she could be a rebel and therefore joining their little group.
The movie definitely does not portray it that way.
Yeah.
I will say after that scene, she definitely lightens up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And she does kind of bend the rule a lot after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that was her intention so much as maybe just kind of open the door for her.
I'm trying to remember if in the movie that's when, because afterwards, or if it was before, that Ron makes a comment about her, about, I remember what he says. It was something along the lines of...
You need to get your priorities in order?
No, he said something about her, but it was something in regards to how now that, it's like when she's now being rebellious, and he makes a comment about, like, almost like, what have we done, but I can't remember exactly what he said.
I like the, when he says, you're scary. You know that? You're like, brilliant, but scary.
Yes.
We were talking about how the Quidditch match is like more over the top. And I think the movie actually introduces higher stakes for Quidditch.
Mm-hmm.
That whole bit about like Marcus Flint playing dirty is in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, they really kind of show him like purposefully like knocking people down, like to the ground.
In the
movie.
No, there was... So I, in one of the videos I watched, someone made a comment about how the rules they break in the movie would have caused the game to have been stopped in the book.
Right, yeah.
Because
he definitely tries to play dirty in the book and he gets away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But they do talk about how in the book, like, they're surprised that nobody has, like, stopped the game, like, for Harry on the broom.
Mm-hmm.
And things like that. Like, they definitely, I think it goes to what you're saying, is, like, they kind of just, like, forgot all the rules of Quidditch.
Yeah.
You know, and it works for the stakes.
Well, the main two that I think they said they would have stopped the game for in the book would have been when he hit the bludger at, what's his name? The keeper.
Oliver Wood.
Oliver Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have stopped the game. Or when they... teamed up against, is it Angelina Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
That would have stopped the game in the book.
Well, or at the very least, we got a penalty, and like Gryffindor wouldn't be able to take a shot.
And they got a lot of penalties in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, this is another random one. I like how in the book, when Harry's broom is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
The other Gryffindor players in the book are actually trying to help get Harry off his broom.
Yeah, like the twins.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they can't because he's jerking around so much, everybody just prepares to catch him.
Yeah. Yeah. That was cool to see in the book. Yeah.
The movie really leans into this idea of like he could die.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the book, there's an idea that he could, but it's like, well, someone's going to help him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it makes sense from an artistic standpoint, you know, with the stakes and everything. But this is something... I haven't thought about this time around. I don't know what Professor Quirrell was trying to accomplish with jinxing Harry's broom. Because Harry really would not have been in any danger at all because he's in public.
Yeah.
There's so many people who could like do magic and save him from falling or whatever, you know. If he was trying to kill Harry, then why didn't Quirrell just like try that same stunt while like, Harry was at practice or like by himself? Or, you know, it's one of those things where like if you think way too much about these things, like it all falls apart and you really shouldn't. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand. It did cross my mind too. I'm like,
Yeah, I think I can come up with an argument.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, you really get the idea that Snape is on to Quirrell from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And that Snape has kind of been following him and keeping track of him and like trying to figure out what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
And you get a lot more of that in the book than in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could make the argument that maybe like Quirrell didn't really have a lot of opportunities to hurt Harry.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me is also thinking, dude, you could have done it. And then another small difference, in the book, Harry catches the snitch in his mouth immediately after his broom returns to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of like goes into like a weird dive.
Yeah.
And it just like ends up in his mouth when he's diving.
Mm-hmm.
But in the movie, I this is one of the times, this last time, that I was thinking, why did you do this?
Mm.
He's on a broomstick that can go up and down.
Yeah.
And then he climbs on top and stands on the broomstick.
I just assumed it was he was...
I
brand new to the game.
I'm like, dude, just pull up.
Yeah, no.
I think for like a cool scene.
I think it was just purely directorial.
I think it is that, but I think in order for it to still end up in his mouth, mm-hmm. I think he wanted it to make more sense that it ended up in his mouth.
Okay.
Again, I couldn't find an answer to this. This is mm-hmm. just me thinking about it from a director's standpoint. Because in the book, it's super random. It's like, oh, it ended up in his mouth. That's weird. But in the movie, he climbs on the broomstick and like it gets off center. Mm-hmm. And so it throws him off the broom. Mm-hmm. And then it ends makes up in sense. His mouth that way.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think it makes more sense in the movie. But when I'm watching, I'm like, dude, why are you standing on your broom? Like, I don't think you were trained to do that.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Madame Hooch would have just said, pull up. Yeah, it's not like your broom couldn't go higher, you mm-hmm. know? You were really close to the ground.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is another tiny one, but I thought was weird. And it's another time where the movie just kind of streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, it's a little confusing. The Weasley sweaters.
They don't have names on them.
Well, at first, I didn't think they had letters on them.
Or letters, yeah.
At first, I'm like, oh, none of them have letters, but the mm-hmm. movies do. I was like, that's an interesting choice. But as I kept reading, I realized the twins
mm-hmm.
have letters on them. And I was like, oh, is it just a joke? The twins have letters, but none of the other Weasleys do because Molly wants to figure out who's who.
Mm-hmm.
But then you find out Percy has a letter.
Hmm.
But Ron doesn't. Like, they make a point of saying Ron does not.
Yeah.
And then Fred or George says that Percy has it because it's P for prefect. But, like, as a joke. But I'm also like, is it a joke?
Huh.
But, like, Ron doesn't have one. Like, they make a point that Ron does not have an R.
Mm-hmm.
And then they never say anything about Harry having an H on his. But I think in the movie, just to streamline it and make it more, to understand it better, they just all have it.
Well, in the movie, you only see Ron. You don't get to see the other brothers.
Don't you?
Mm-mm.
Mm, maybe I'm thinking of different movies. Well, and Harry's got an H on his. Don't you see Harry in his H?
I don't remember seeing the sweater.
I thought so.
No, because it pretty much goes from Ron opening his sweater up to Harry opening the robe.
I can't be imagining cloak, this. I'm pretty sure Harry has an H on one of his sweaters at some point.
I have a memory of, in fact, as I was watching that scene, I could have sworn Harry also opened up a sweater, but I don't remember. But it never showed up. So I don't know if it was a deleted scene. You looking it up?
Mm-hmm. No, he's wearing it.
Oh, is he?
Maybe it is a deleted scene. There's that one where you can see the top of it.
Oh, okay. Maybe I just didn't pay attention enough then.
And then this one where it's his side.
I'm going to have to watch it again now.
But the thing is, I don't remember that scene.
Yeah.
Which maybe you're right. Maybe it is a deleted scene. Not bother me.
Hmm.
Oh, look here. Maybe it is a deleted scene. It has to be a deleted scene. Because look, this is Fred and George with theirs.
Oh, okay.
Just wasting time. I know. In the movie, you get the flashback mm-hmm. for when Harry's parents were killed.
Yes.
Which I actually kind of liked. I thought it was poignant and just dark enough and, mm-hmm. and really, really good. Because then you know who Harry's parents are. You know what they look like
mm-hmm.
for later on when you see him in the Mirror of Erised. I think that was a good choice.
Yeah.
One thing I like about the book a little bit is mm-hmm. how, and not in the movie, is how Harry has these visions
mm-hmm.
or like memories of that night.
Yeah.
But it's just like a flash of green light and like someone screaming and you hear Voldemort laughing and
mm-hmm.
In the book, there's a lot more about Norbert the dragon. Like, it's all dragged out.
Yeah.
And so, like, that whole bit about... But I do like how they changed it for the movie, though. They changed it from McGonagall, like, catching Malfoy after dark. Like, looking for them to get them in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
To Malfoy purposefully going to get her after dark so that he can get them into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And then she, like, turns it on him, like, you're also going to be in detention. Like, I love how they did all that for the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's different.
Yeah. And it
Like saves time. It felt on theme. Like it felt right.
It worked. Yeah.
For like as an adaptation.
Yeah. No, it was a cut that made sense, and poor Hagrid loses his dragon, and they just don't have to go through the whole.
At least in the book, he had him for a while.
Yeah.
And he created some turmoil.
But that changes a lot too, because now, in the book, before he loses the dragon, Ron gets bitten by it.
Yeah.
And ends up spending half the rest of the
book. Yeah, Ron doesn't go into the forest.
No.
Because he doesn't get caught. He's in the hospital wing.
He's in the hospital wing until the end of the book.
Yeah, and so Neville goes into the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's why it's funny, because I think in the book, Ron is not as cowardly.
Yeah.
But because a lot of the bits with Neville got cut, and then they got kind of switched to Ron.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie, Ron comes off a lot more cowardly.
Yes, yeah.
And yeah. So I think that's something that's interesting to note.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're finishing up here. Okay, so in the leading up to the climax, in the book, when they drop into Devil's Snare, that's not really Hermione's like big scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like she helps out, like she kind of lights it on fire to like get them out of there.
Yeah.
But there's not that whole bit about just stop moving.
No, she's actually panicking.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ron's the calm one in this one.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's kind of panicking, but then she's the one that lights the fire and stuff. But in the movie, this is the beginning of what I realized is them trying to emphasize how the three of them really need each other and how they make each other stronger.
Yeah.
Because they rely on each other's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that's kind of hinted at in the book. But it's really emphasized in the movie.
Yeah.
And so, like, in the movie, she says, just relax, like, trust me, you'll be fine. But they don't listen. And so, like, she has to help them out by using her magic to save Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, not in the book. But then
it is also a sore point in a lot of fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the spell she uses.
Oh, Lumos Amare or whatever it is?
It's something that does not exist in canon in the book.
Oh, sure.
And they're like, why are they teaching them Lumos if they can use that one instead?
Well, again, sidetrack. There's a lot of things in the book that are like variations on a spell.
Yeah.
Like it's like levels, like degrees of that spell. Because like even in the book, isn't it Lumos Maxima? Or is that just in the
movie? No, it's just in the movie. Because she uses it in...
No, because in the third one, he says Lumos Maxima.
In the movie, perhaps, but not in the book. Because, in fact, there's the reason I know it is because there's actually an essay or like a little I read on why, like, people really, at the time, back in the day, they really hated that change.
I think that's just nitpicky.
It is.
I don't think
it was a Harry Potter fan site that I read this on. So. Yeah.
Because all of the spells are just Latin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just them just, you know, doing more Latin.
Yeah. No, it was.
Because it sounds better to say two things than just like one thing.
Well, no, it wasn't so much the words. It was more the fact that they.
But also, Hermione knows a ton of things that no other person her age should know. So.
True,
like, but nobody taught them Alohomora.
Yeah. No. But it was more just in regards to the inventing of spells for the movie versus that didn't exist in the book world.
Well, like the whole bit about like Oculus Reparo, right?
Mm-hmm. That was also not.
That's not in the book. Yeah, but it shows like how smart Hermione is already. Mm-hmm. Like she grew up as a Muggle, and yet she's so smart. And she's learning spells before she even gets there. Mm-hmm. You know, so it makes sense for her. But then you know, in the next scene after Devil's Snare in the book, there's multiple broomsticks.
Yes, and they all go flying for the keys,
and the keys don't like hoard after them.
No.
Yeah, but in the movie. It really emphasizes Harry's strength, and it's just him, and it's super difficult.
Yeah.
And then the next scene, it really like emphasizes like this is Ron's, like he makes the sacrifice here, like this is what he's good at. And
though in the book it was a little more like dangerous, because in the book, in the movie, he just kind of gets on the horse and goes around. In the book, he becomes the piece himself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's implied that.
Like, he got hit.
Yeah, in the book, it hits the horse and he falls down and he gets injured by falling, I guess. In the book, when it hits him, it hits him.
Mm-hmm.
There's no barrier. There's no other, you know, horse to protect him. But no, I see the point you're making in regards to the strength part.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a good choice on the director or writers.
Right, I think so. I think it worked really well.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they didn't have that friendship, they would never have gotten through.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is the point.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And then, again, we already said there's, in the book, there's two more trials. Like, there's mm-hmm. the one for Quirrell, what had the troll, but he already got rid of the troll. And then there's the Snape. I think it's supposed to be Snape.
It is. The
but it's weird that Snape's is, like, a logic one.
Because mm-hmm.
you think that it wouldn't be logic-based for Snape. Like, I mean, I don't know. It just, it felt weird.
No, chemistry. I mean.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't, like, it involved potion making, but it was more about that logic. You're right,
because it was more of that.
Yeah. Like, it was more like a riddle. Like, it involved understanding, like, piecing it together and stuff. And that's why they were saying, like, a lot of wizards would struggle with that because it's illogical. They're illogical at mm-hmm. times, and muggles are more logical.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. Thought of it that way.
Hmm. Yeah, they make a point of that in that scene in the book.
Yeah.
But I think it worked that they cut both of those out for the film.
Yeah.
Because it really felt like it killed the momentum in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just went right to meeting Quirrell in the movie.
And they abandoned Ron in the book.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, because Hermione goes with him to the last two, and then they mm-hmm. have that touching little scene. And
In the movie, Ron has that little speech about, like, you're the one who has to face Voldemort, mm-hmm. not Hermione, not me, you. And that's not in the book, but it, like, gears up Harry. Like, no matter what happens, you have to face mm-hmm. him. One addition for the movie that I really like
mm-hmm.
is when Harry is facing Voldemort in front of the Mirror of Erised, Voldemort kind of insinuates that he can bring Harry's parents back.
That's
if Harry joins him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Harry sees his parents in the mirror again,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, as a viewer, like, those are, that's, if he sees that in the mirror, it's because that's what he desperately wants the most.
Yeah.
But then when he, like, turns, like, and he like, defies Voldemort, like, they disappear in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought that was so well done.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, and the movie, like I said, it really just plays on that theme of a family for Harry,
mm-hmm.
and Harry discovering who he is.
Yeah.
And he's made this new family for himself at Hogwarts.
Mm-hmm.
The one other thing I think that was handled a little better in the movie shows Voldemort, like, living on.
Yeah.
As a kind of like a spirit thing, like, mm-hmm. he'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, it's just all kind of told to you.
Yeah.
But I think it was handled very well in the movie. It's like, we know he'll be back. Like, mm-hmm. he's still around. Like,
yeah.
Quirrell's gone, but Voldemort's still here.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last thing I'll say is the differences between the movie are summed up in the last line.
Mm-hmm.
The differences between the movie and the book are summed up in the last line for each. In the book, Harry gets on the train, goes back to Platform 9 3/4. Everybody gets off. They go back to King's Cross Station.
Mm-hmm.
Molly Weasley's there with Ginny, and she picks up all the Weasley kids, and
the
Dursleys are there picking up Harry, which I think is hilarious. But, you know, like, Molly Weasley tries to meet them and stuff, and in the book, Harry says it's going to be a good summer, because mm-hmm. the Dursleys don't know about the no magic outside of school.
Yeah.
And part of me is thinking, well, Petunia should remember. But, you know, it ends with a joke.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the Dursleys don't know I can't do magic outside of school. But in the movie, they're getting on the train, and they're looking back. Like, Hagrid just gave him the
picture book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is later in the movie than in the book. And Hermione says, it's going to be weird going home. And Harry says, I'm not going home. Not really.
Yeah.
And I think those two lines ending the movie really sum up the differences between the two.
No, I agree. Yeah, no, I think the movie ended well. I mean, the book did too, but it's, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think the emotional strings were better done.
Yeah, I wish there was a little bit more comedy in the movie and like the funny aspects of Hogwarts and some of the characters.
Yeah.
I think some of that got lost.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the movie really made up for it with, like, I'm just gonna say, like, wholesomeness.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a lot of the heart and, like, the relationship and stuff. And, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right, final thoughts.
Final thoughts? I'm really glad we did that. We read this. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've had an opportunity to relive probably one mm-hmm. of the...
And I feel like because we do it from the podcast, franchise. I feel like I'm analyzing it more than I would have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because normally I think we would have just read it.
For pleasure. And yeah, I wouldn't have noticed as much, I think.
Yeah.
No. I don't know if I want to do every book.
Well, we've started.
You want to do every book?
We're going to take a while to do it. It might take us a couple years to get through
it. And not, and definitely not by the next episode.
No.
All right, let's do ratings first. We'll do the book and then the movie. And we have no way of judging this except for just what our imaginations want to do. So, book. One is, I wish I did not pick this up and I hated reading this. And 10 being, I want to read this every day.
I don't know. I'd probably say a 7.
Okay.
7 for the book. And something I'll read maybe. I wouldn't mind reading it once every couple of years, but.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I would definitely reread it again.
Mm-hmm.
No, I definitely. I think I want some more time to pass.
Yeah.
I think I'll give it an 8.
Okay.
I think if only because there's a lot more I came across this time.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, having knowing what's going to happen in the rest of the series, I think I appreciate it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
There were definitely times I was reading, I was like, oh,
nice.
I see what you're doing over there, J.K. Rowling. Oh, right. What about the movie?
I'd probably have to put it the same as about 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I enjoyed it, but...
You always grade a little lower than I think you're going to.
Yeah.
I think maybe I grade higher than you think I'm going to.
It's... Well, no, you know what? Because of the nostalgia, like, I really enjoyed sitting and watching it this time around, because it's been a while since I haven't really watched it like I normally would during the Halloween season. I'd probably have to say an 8, because I'm more likely to sit and watch that movie again within the next few months than I am to read the book.
I think I'm going to go to 9.
A 9? Okay.
Yeah. I can't give it a 10, now that I've given Matilda a 10.
Mm-hmm.
I have to really consider, you know, like, if 10 is I want to watch this movie every day and I love it and it gives me all the right feelings and stuff. Like, I definitely don't think I could watch this every day.
Yeah.
But I could watch it often.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel.
And it definitely gives me, like, really good feelings. And I do enjoy watching it. And, like, even this last time watching it, I felt very nostalgic. And I think I watched it as an adult more this time around. I watched it and I was like, oh, wow, I love the creativity. I love the choices they were making. And, like, because I was analyzing it more, you know. And I think I wasn't just watching it for pleasure. So, like, I feel like I was watching it with very different eyes.
Okay.
All right. So, move on to type of adaptation.
Yep.
I think this will be easy. So, this is the part of the episode where we talk about what kind of adaptation this is. I came up with 4 different types of adaptations, and if you're new to the podcast, please check out our trailer where we go in depth on those types of adaptations.
Yep.
The first is true to source material, the second is expanded, third is artistic, and the last is message driven. So, what do you think this is?
Despite the changes, it's true to source material.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think anytime you have to condense into a movie instead of making something like a short story bigger into a movie, I think it always kind of lends to true to source material.
Yeah.
But again, I think even the changes that were made still felt like they could have been in the book, and they still felt really on theme and very like the whole thing we were talking about with Malfoy and everything. But yeah, I agree. I think it's true to the source material. And it's even if anything, because Chris Columbus and everybody said they really tried to make sure that they were.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. It definitely felt like it was a major goal for the creative team to stay true. I mean, like, obviously, like, they could do their own things, but they wanted to stay true, and I like that. Great.
Cool.
All right. That one was a lot of fun. A lot of talking on that one.
Yes.
We hope you all enjoyed this. I'm not gonna lie, these episodes are sometimes daunting. I think, okay, I gotta read this book before we record, but I need to watch the movie and I need to do the research.
I rely on you doing the research. So I don't have the time
for
it.
Hey, you can do your research too.
I know, I run out of time though.
Hey, I go to school and I'm working.
Oh, I know. It's just a lot.
All right, next time. When we do a comic, I'm going to depend on you. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. I really hope you enjoyed this one. If you did not enjoy the Harry Potter episode, then maybe you don't like our
podcast. Well, thank you all for joining us. Hope you, like you said, like Eric said, hope you enjoyed it. And I know Harry Potter is a beloved series, and so there's a lot to go through it. We could have gone through so much more, really. But
and hey, you know what? If you guys send us stuff in an email or you come up with other ideas or things that maybe we missed that you really want to talk about, we can maybe do a revisited.
Yeah, down the line.
Or this or any episode.
Well, really. you have heard they're redoing it into a miniseries.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about
that. Yeah, so there'll be another adaptation before too long. I'm
cautiously optimistic.
I don't know what to think.
I don't know either.
Yeah, so.
I've seen what they've done with other things.
Well, we'll hope you enjoyed the episode.
Yes, thank you. And please let us know if you have any ideas for future episodes or if you just want to get in contact with us, you know.
All right.
Until next time.
Take care. We'll see you with the next adaptation.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, Willing to Adapt. Please like and subscribe. Maybe leave a review or just share us with friends and family.
We would also love if you would follow us on social media.
If you have ideas for future episodes for us, please email us at ericandromi@willingtoadapt.com.
That's Romy with an I.
And remember, when the only thing constant in life is change, be willing to adapt.